Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. I'm Ken Smith, and joining me in the studio today is a tribal member, Kaila Farrell Smith. Did I say that right?
Yes, thank you very much, Ken.
No relations.
Right. Smith with the last name, yes.
So, you have a very interesting topic today for the audience, something I wasn't aware of until you sent the email to me about this lithium mine in McDermott, Caldera, in the southeastern part of the state of Oregon. And there's an anticipated drilling and road building and other infrastructure that will affect as many as 7,200 acres of sagebrush grasslands that are home to imperiled species such as the greater sage grouse and Lahontan cutthroat trout, which I've never heard of.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful, special, powerful place out in the McDermott Caldera. And I've been involved with Atsa Kudaku Wainuu, which is a Paiute for People of Red Mountain, which is a group and organization that has been working to build education and cultural awareness about the threats to the Paiute, Shoshone, and Bannock homelands surrounding the Fort McDermott Reservation, which is right on the border of the Oregon and Nevada region. And so, as our tribe, the Klamath Tribes, is Klamath, Modoc, and Yahooskan Paiute bands, and we've, you know, have a lot of saamics, or relations, and community, spiritual community with the Fort McDermott community, and so I think there's a shared concern, and so I can speak. I'm a spokesperson for People of Red Mountain, as well as myself. I'm personally a Klamath tribal member, but also a professional artist, and have been doing, I guess, activism work, but also just community organizing for the past 20 years in the state of Oregon.
Did you say there's a reservation there?
Yeah, Fort McDermott Paiute Reservation.
Is that the same? I read the biography of Sarah Winnemucca. Is that where she established when she went there?
Sarah Winnemucca, yeah, very influential and important person to know about historically in that region. I've read the book about her, but I can't remember if she's specifically from Fort McDermott. But definitely, you know, there's many, many tribes surrounding this whole area in Nevada. And many tribes in Nevada do consider this specific area in McDermott Caldera a sacred place because it's called Pihimaha, which is there was a massacre in 1865, September 12th, 1865. The U.S. Cavalry massacred many people in the Paiute area, and this was kind of one of their fleet.
Was that the Bannock War?
It's 1865, so I'm sorry. I've been a spokesperson. I don't know exactly all the history of that
area. I'm just thinking that was in the biography.
Right, yeah. And at some point they called it the War of Extinction. So there was just a lot of wars and massacres that happened in this area.
There was a lot of little wars that took place all over California, Nevada.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, so this area is sacred to those elders. And so, like I said, I'm a spokesperson. And for me personally, my father's the late Alfred Leo Smith from the Smith versus Oregon.
My father's name was Leo.
Leo? Yeah. Really? Maybe we should look into relations. So Alfred Leo Smith, I was a young child during the 90s when he didn't take it. Dave Frommeyer took that court case to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. And ever since I was, you know, very small infant, I traveled with both my parents, but specifically my father, we'd go back out to McDermott for ceremonies. So there was this kind of resurgence of Native American religion and engaging in indigenous ceremonies, including Sweat Lodge, Sundance. And so that's my personal connection. And Al passed in 2014, so it's been about 11 years. So the last 4 years, I've done my own personal reconnection with that place and that community. And really, you know, here to speak for the elders that are still very much, you know, participating in those ceremonies and participating in those cultural ways of life. And that I've been there now for the past 4 years out in this area, Disaster Peak and Pihimaha. I shared the map with you. You can kind of see what's at threat right now. And so this is supposedly one of the largest lithium deposits in the world. And these corporations, these transnational corporations, are moving forward with really shady business deals, and, you know, not really, in my opinion, and in people of Red Mountain's opinion, not adhering to the processes which are supposed to happen with corporations, doing meaningful consultation, and then ultimately, you know, they need to get consent. And what we've been seeing in this whole area, in our tribe as well, we fought Jordan Cove LNG projects, which I was very much a part of that fight. You know, our tribe, Klamath Tribe, didn't even have a meeting with Jordan Cove so that we couldn't have consultation, and then we were saying no. And unfortunately, with these lithium mines, you know, the first Trump administration rushed through these permitting processes during COVID, during lockdowns.
Was that when they only had the 5-day comment period was recent.
That's right now. Yes, exactly. So, and what I'm talking about, about the rush permitting process for the Thacker Pass mine, which is on the southern tip of the caldera. The one we're here to talk about today is the Jindalee mine, which is on the Oregon side. And that's why, you know, our tribe, the Klamath Tribe, apparently the company, the corporation, is claiming that they did send a letter to a lot of tribes, including the Klamath Tribe. So that was why I'm here today, is I wanted to just let folks know that we are in the permitting process, and there's an open public commenting period right now that the new Trump administration passed an executive order, and then they opened up a 5-day public commenting period on a weekend, so that it gave us
like
3 days.
When did this take place?
End of March, so March 31st was the end date, and we found out the Thursday before. So I sent an email to the Klamath Tribal Council on that Friday over the weekend, knowing that Monday was our last day. We have a big coalition of groups. You're holding the letter there of the release statement, kind of letting everybody know that this is it. This is the public commenting period. We did make a big blast on social media, we have almost 2,000 comments submitted right now. And because of the public outrage, the BLM, Vail District, has now extended that public commenting period till April 25th, which is the standard, usually like a 30-day public commenting period for this type of thing. The other thing is that they're not doing a full environmental impact statement, which is really needed for a project this size, a mine this big, the amount that they're going to be exploring. They're just doing an environmental assessment, which is much shorter of a process. So this is kind of the Trump administration's attempts at fast-tracking this mine.
So when the public comment period is over, how long will it take before a decision's made? And can there be appeals anyway by lawyers and...
Yeah, litigation will follow, definitely. I'm not sure exactly. Everything's happened. This is unprecedented, the fast tracking of this. And so what we can compare to is the Thacker Pass mine they're already digging and building at that site. So if you see on the map, it's that kind of lavender purple area. That's the lithium Nevada's. So that's what we've been fighting up until this point. I got involved. So like I said, the first Trump administration passed that permit right after we won Jordan Cove. We beat Jordan Cove LNG, and that was dead. The last thing that the last Trump administration did was pass this permit for that mine. So we didn't really even have a time to celebrate the winning of stopping that LNG pipeline through our ancestral homelands. And the threat of this lithium mine was really terrifying. And so up until this point, we have been I'm saying we as in there's other tribes like Reno Sparks Indian Colony. There's a lot of other tribes that have gotten involved in this and that litigation. And unfortunately, because it was COVID lockdown, there was the tribes didn't respond to the letters sent. And people didn't make public comments during the public comment period that nobody knew about. And this is happening right now in Fort McDermitt. The company, this other company, Jindalee, didn't even let the community know that there's an open public commenting period. So it's really shady, right? They just want this to go happen, nobody knows about it, and then later on, up until this point, the judges and then the legal team for the corporations say that since nobody commented, nobody cares about the land, and that means that the companies get consultation and consent. And the judges have agreed that sending letters during COVID lockdowns was considered meaningful consultation and consent. So we're in the exact same period right now with the Jindalee mine on the Oregon side. So the Jindalee mine has sent out the letters to tribes, and so that's why I'm here today, is asking, you know, our tribal council and our tribal community to make a public comment, because when we do, get to the litigation process, the public comments are on the record, are on the public record. So even though what we are fighting and dealing with in the larger, you know, macro scale is the 1872 mining law, which says anybody that makes a claim, which are all those claims on that map, will get to mine. However, they do go through this process of doing public comments. I went through the public commenting process for the Thacker Pass mine, and I have now, there have been graduate students from studying in New York State to San Diego State University. A lot of students are actually looking in on this whole project, and our public comments are on public record forever. So when it comes to the legal process, it actually is really important to have people submit, you know, really careful, you know, meaningful comments. And that is, it's really important for tribal members. You know, this is our time to speak up. And so that's one of the goals of Atsa Kudaku Ainu, People of Red Mountain, is to help community members go through the process of just, you know, writing a statement, whether that's like, this is my hunting ground, this is where I gather, you know, my sacred medicines, which is this whole area around Disaster Peak, that which is that mountain you can see in the images. That is their sacred area where they harvest. There's like, that's where their cedar is, toza, which is, you know, their tea. There's biscuit root, bitter root. It's very similar to our medicinals that we harvest here in the, around the Klamath tribes.
And then you have the endangered species. Are they endangered, the...
Yes.
Greater sage grouse and Lahontan cutthroat trout?
Yeah, and I believe those are endemic trout. So, and there's an endemic snail as well in this area, meaning it's like our
Nobody ever pays attention to snails.
I know. Well,
but they,
in this
you know,
case...
they're endangered. A lot of them in little areas, you know, you hear about these, they're all, you know, they're small little creatures. They can't move around. They're stuck where they are.
Yeah. In this case, these snails actually may... save this landscape for us.
I'm not saying I don't care about them. It's just snails are just one of those species that doesn't get the notoriety. So what is that snail?
We have, if you go to People of Red Mountain's website, we actually have an article about it. So you can click right on there and learn about it. Sorry, I don't have it off the top of my head right here. But yeah, no, the sage grouse are, you know, they're incredible. I don't know if you've seen them before. They
beautiful bird.
Perform that really mating ritual. It's very cool to watch. And then, of course, you know, elk. This is massive hunting grounds out here. So a lot of the community out here are elk hunters, and not just indigenous. There's also non-native hunters that you know, utilize this whole area of southeastern Oregon and northern Nevada for hunting.
I mean, what it should be is a national wildlife refuge.
Exactly. And it is. If you go up to Heart Mountain, which is on the Oregon side, that's the antelope refuge. And so, and I've been working for the last year and a half with Oregon Natural Desert Association as well, working to protect the Owyhee Canyonlands, which is 1.1 million acres of that Owyhee River flowing from the Snake River into Duck Valley Indian Reservation. This all should be, and I'll just be really honest, I worked on that last year. I was in Washington, D.C. I lobbied my state representatives and senators. I was in the office of Senator Ron Wyden, and he did not want this national monument, and he, just the way D.C. works, I talked to his second, the woman in command or whatever, and she was at, we were at a dinner, and we were there with Myron Smart, who's from a McDermott elder. We were with Gary McKinney, who's from Duck Valley, myself, and Wilson Wiwa, who's Warm Spring but is a northern Paiute man. And we were a delegation, and we spent 4 days lobbying our senators on behalf of these Owyhee Canyonland National Monument. And it was a massive campaign across the entire state. I lobbied our tribal council, and our tribal council passed a resolution in support of the Owyhee Canyonland National Monuments to support our Paiute and Shoshone Bannock relatives that are just, you know, east of us. And so that's where I'm here today, is I'm hoping that the Klamath tribes will follow up on this, because if you look at the larger map on our website, it has that whole 1.1 million acres of the Owyhee Canyonlands. And right there at the bottom is that McDermott caldera. And Ron Wyden second said, we'll give you the national monument if we get that lithium mine. And I said, no, People of Red Mountain, Atsu Kudaku Ainu, we are the ones who are going to be resisting that mining, that happened. And it came down to it, Deb Hallens, you know, Department of Interior, we made it into the Department of Interior. And she wasn't there in person. Her staff was brought to tears by, you know, the stories that our delegation brought to them. And we did not get the national monument because Ron Wyden said no. So I just want everybody to be really clear that this is the way politics works. And so now we're in the second Trump administration. He's fast tracking. He wants to drill, log.
Like how soon?
Like, I mean, I don't know. We don't know. I have no idea. This guy says, you know, this president says a lot of things, but we'll see what he does.
And what about the legal holdups?
I think everything's going to end up in, you know, litigation court, court regarding this. So that's why I'm here really imploring people that this is a really important time to make a public comment on record. And so it's actually a really easy process. And I'm hoping, you know, to set up either I could personally set up, you know, something at the Chiloquin, you know, community center next to the library. We've done community events that way. Or ideally, I'd love it if the, you know, the tribe could help out and we could set up something and help folks just come in and, you know, take 5 minutes and write something.
Have you tried to get on the agenda?
I have. I followed up on that Friday, March 28th. That's when the deadline was the 31st. I did not hear anything back from Jennifer Vigil or the Tribal Council. I followed up yesterday. I sent you an email, and I followed up with Jennifer Vigil and the Tribal Council yesterday. So I know that they're in a council meeting today.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to hear from them ASAP.
Are you hopeful that this mine can be prevented, or do you...
Yes. I think if we all work together...
I mean, there is a battle for... rare mineral, rare earth,
of course,
you know, and things
rare
for
earth,
the
rare minerals are a hot commodity. Lithium is, you know, at the top. It's not just electric vehicles; it's all of our smartphones and technological devices. So, as this technocracy moves forward at a really accelerating speed, there's a demand. And this is, I'm a professional artist, and my last series of paintings was called Ghosts in the Machine, and I literally used the topsoil of where the lithium is deposited and turned it into pigment and made a whole series, monochrome series, which was specifically commenting on the U.S. Army's video that you can look up on YouTube called Ghosts in the Machine, which is literally talking about that they're having they're doing psy war or psychological warfare on all of us. And so if we just, you know, if you're going to dig it all up, I said that this is, it's going to be the entire global South, as well as Indian Country and Nevada and Oregon, which are called sacrifice zones, to get all these minerals so they can create a smart cities, freedom cities, whatever they call them, 15-minute cities, and which are going to be digital technological prisons where you have your little smart car that you can, you know, drive only so far. And if you say something online that they don't like, you know, maybe it will just drive you right to prison. That's a really terrifying future. I don't want to see us go there. However, everybody told me Jordan Cove LNG projects was going through. That company, that Canadian corporation, had bought off all of our politicians, most of the tribes in Oregon. Luckily, the Klamath tribe stood up and said, no, we're not even going to meet with them. And everybody told me that that was happening, no matter what. Why do you even fight back? And we won that, you know. So I do have, and I don't even like the word hope. I was literally reading the story of Pandora's box last night, the Greek mythology, and hope is the last, you know. Well, it depends, I guess, on how you interpret that story, but it was an evil in Pandora's box. So I don't believe in hope. I believe in work. I say we are working. We have to work together as a community. And I am here, and people of Red Mountain are here to support our community members, especially, you know, our Paiute, you know, our tribal members who are Paiute and have a connection to this place. And I know many of our tribal members, especially those who are, you know, remember and have deep connection to the late Tyler Barlow, who I have known my entire life, and I'm mourning and missing him very much. And I know how close, and my father, the late Alfred Smith, that this Fort McDermitt area and region is a very deeply spiritual place. I've been going and, being in Sweat Lodge ceremony for the last few years with Myron Smart, with people of Red Mountain. I've been able to heal, you know, my own, that loss of my father, and now the loss of Tyler, who was a dear friend of mine. And I know that they would want us to stand up, you know, at least say something. That's all we're asking for today, is just, you know, make a public comment.
And if you want to make a public comment, the listeners out there, where do they send them? Do you have an email or mailing address?
I do. My partner works on the People of Red Mountain website. And if you just go to the homepage, so it's peopleofredmountain.com, and... we have a post up there. It's basically, you have to go to the BLM website, and you just go on, you click on High Tech Lithium Oregon, and there's a little tab that says participate now. And you can just make a comment right there and submit it. It's really easy. It looks like my internet isn't working that great in here right now. But if you go on the website, it just says Protect McDermott Caldera, and it has a bit, there's lots of links that you can link to it. And I can follow up, maybe, and we can put the link onto the description of this podcast.
Yeah, or you could send it to me. I can put it on the Facebook page.
Perfect. Yeah, it's a really easy commenting process, which is nice, because when we were fighting Jordan Cove, like, I signed up to be a legal intervener. It was a totally confusing process to, like, sign up for that. So luckily, the Vail, it's the Vail BLM. It's like, unfortunately, I'm sorry. I didn't come with this prepared.
All right. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I'll email it to you, though.
And they have to have it in by what's the deadline?
April 25th is the new deadline.
Right.
So we have a couple weeks.
Okay.
And that's why I wanted to let everybody know. And you know, with our coalition, you know, we're working with Great Basin Resource Watch and Earthworks, Oregon Natural Desert Association. And so, yeah, People of Red Mountain, you know, is we do an annual event actually out at Pihimaha, where it's overlooking where they're digging now, which is really sad and unfortunate. But we have an annual event every year at around September 11th, in commemoration for that massacre, the 1865 massacre. And we really encourage folks to come out. We put up big tents. We do feast, giveaway, drumming and singing. And we have speakers that talk about what happened then and what's happening now, and just to build awareness and reconnection, you know, to this land. And if you just go north from Pihimaha, Sentinel Rock is the rock that we do our gathering around. And if you just head north, that's where Disaster Peak is, and the whole story of where those Paiute people fled from that massacre was through that Disaster Peak area. So this whole that whole story is really a part of the survivors, you know, that are now the descendants that live out in Fort McDermott Reservation and the Paiute homelands. And it's the high desert. You know, the largest concern is the pollution of groundwater with these lithium mines. And I'll also just say there's already a mine there, Cordero Mine, which was, I believe, mercury mining. And, you know, a lot of the people that work there all died of cancer. You know, they're sick. So, and that mine was never cleaned up. And so that's what we just talk about, is even if this project would end and they had already dug below the, you know, groundwater line and it would be polluted, all of their water would be polluted, you know, there's nothing that company's going to do to clean that up. And so that's the really scary part. And not just, you know, we're building coalitions not just with the Native community, but with the ranchers and the hunters. And because there's that whole Kings River Valley on the other side of the mountains. And there's, you know, ranching and hunting, you know, communities who depend on this land, and agricultural communities. You know, there's a lot of agricultural land out there. All of this would be dried up if they start digging up. If you look at that map, these claims are this whole area. So we just want to get we didn't get ahead of the first one, the Thacker Pass mine, because it happened during the COVID pandemic. And so I've been, you know, just working and supporting this community for the last 4 years, because I knew we were going to get to this point on the Oregon side. And I knew that we were able to stop Jordan Cove through public commenting and just getting people involved. And so that's why I'm here today, to hopefully get everybody on board. And, you know, I think people in Oregon need, so Nevada is a mining state. These people are, you know, in Nevada, there's lots of mining. That's just, people are aware of it. Oregon isn't really aware of what, like, an open pit, a 400 foot deep open pit lithium mine is going to do to a community, to the landscape. And if, you know, and I say, you know, if you like to go to hot springs, I love hot springs, this whole area out there, Steens Mountains, you know, Malheur, these are bird, you know, bird refugees, animal refugees. And this massacre site, they should be historic sites. This should be preserved and conserved, not dug up for lithium. And if you like to hunt, if you like to fish, if you like to kayak, if you, you know, hike, anything, that's what you can make a public comment about. You enjoy this landscape, you enjoy this water, and you want to keep it preserved. That's all it takes, you know, to say, to make a public comment.
It's like 4 hours from here?
Yeah, if you're going to Pihimaha is about 4.5 hours, maybe 5 hours to get to McDermott. But yeah, that whole area is being threatened right now. And if you look on that map, it's not just, every single one of those claims is a different transnational corporation. So Thacker Pass is Lithium Nevada, which is a Canadian corporation. The one we're dealing with right now, Jindalee, is Australian. And so that's the thing, is that they try to sell it like it's, oh, we're getting local, you know, but it's these are foreign companies. And then I guess the one last thing I'll just kind of say is that we've been working also in coalition and supporting the Oak Flat movement. So the Apaches and Oak Flat is a copper mine. So, and they are fighting a Supreme Court case that is actually citing my father's Supreme Court case. So people of Red Mountain has signed on to that Supreme Court case, and the Supreme Court is looking at that as we speak. So there's just a kind of a lot of moving parts. And I just wanted to let folks know to our tribe, Klamath Tribes, what's going on.
Very good. It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot.
Whew. Yeah. And it's important.
It is.
You know, I'm an environmentalist. I like to see these types of lands preserved.
Exactly.
But there's the battle of rare minerals and earth metals and preservation.
Right. Yep. And so that's where, you know, I come in as a creative, as an artist, and as a tribal member, telling my own story and my family's story, is that, you know, we have to speak up for the land, you know, and speak up for the sage grouse and the
elk. Little snail.
And the little snail and the golden eagles, you know, that nest out there.
Oh, they got golden eagles
too. Just in Thacker Pass, there's 12 golden eagles that nest just in that southern part. So, yeah, it's incredibly beautiful. And unfortunately, this is what I wrote in my public comment. I mean, I wrote a scathing comment, because at that point it was a 5-day public comment period, and we were like, that is malicious at this point, you know, and that these companies down the line, they're going to claim incompetence. But I'm like, this is malice. Like, this is, you know, with the history of what the United States government, with what they've done to indigenous people, the first peoples of this land, it's like, this is just really bad treatment. The way that this company is starting their relationship with the native people who live right there, and they're going to be impacted by this mine. They're not even like letting them know there's a public comment. It's just, it's gross. I think it's malicious, and that's the word that I use. So I think we need to stand up and say something. And, you know, we are on the brink of not having free speech. And I'm saying that, well, add one more thing onto it. I'm the lead plaintiff suing the state of Oregon Department of Justice, their Titan Fusion Center, for surveilling and spying on me because I resisted the Jordan Cove LNG projects and was a tribal activist. Doing organizing. I organized film screenings in Klamath Falls. I organized the Klamath Youth Tribal Council to go and make a public comment when that company came through here. And, you know, that violated my free speech. And so, unfortunately, and also another tribal member, Rowena Jackson, we are both plaintiffs suing the state of Oregon right now. So I'm following in my father's footsteps. It's also freedom of speech. My father was fighting freedom of religion. This is all First Amendment rights. And, you know, my father, unfortunately, you know, that was a really disturbing result of my dad's court case. And we're appealing right now, but up until this point, the judges in Oregon are not, they're siding with the state and Titan Fusion Center. And so just to FYI, to let everybody know, if you go to a protest with a smartphone, you are being tracked and you are being put on a list. And that's what my case proved. And so we did get up to the point where the judge made the state give us all the information that we wanted unredacted, because they gave it to us 99% redacted. And so what we found was that the Titan Fusion Center in the state of Oregon is surveilling, censoring, and tracking people that go to protests, whether it was Black Lives Matter, the Women's March, Jordan Cove, people who resisted Jordan Cove, and even like Buddhist monks. So the state of Oregon is what I'm saying is, if I lose this court case, we do not have freedom of speech in the state of Oregon, and people need to be really careful of what they say and write on social media or just whatever they do on the internet. So,
okay, well, that's a story.
Scary
aside
times.
From the
yeah.
lithium mine. All right, very good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Kaila Farrell-Smith, artist and activist.
Yes.
All right, thank you for joining me today on the Klamath Tribes podcast.
Thanks, Ken Smith. Appreciate it.